It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. The Milwaukee Bucks, they wrap up a 5-game road trip tomorrow, taking on the Phoenix Suns before heading home to host the Minnesota Timberwolves on Thursday. So with new head coach Doc Rivers on the sideline, we check in and we hear from you. Call in with a question. Share your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Eric Name is a senior writer for The Athletic, covering the Bucks, and author of 100 Things Bucks Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Eric, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, let's start with the coaching now under Doc Rivers. So how differently are the Bucks playing under Rivers versus Adrian Griffin?
Yeah, it's a fascinating idea. You talk to a lot of the players, and one of the things that we've heard over the last week in this Bucks team is, as you mentioned, currently on a 5-game road trip. So essentially what you've heard is this is a training camp in the middle of the season. And that is not what you want to hear when you have 3 games in 4 nights as you're trying to finish up a road trip. But, you know, when Doc Rivers took the job, at his introductory press conference, he said, hey, there's probably 4 practices that we can have the rest of the season. Just looking at the schedule, there's probably the opportunity for 4 practices. One of those was on Friday in Dallas at Southern Methodist University. And that, like I said, it was right before 3 games in 4 days. And, you know, on Saturday, I think you saw the potential of that, as all the players after the game were talking about how, you know, there's a new thing that they wanted to do defensively that they installed on Friday at this practice. And then Saturday, it ended up working perfectly, and they were able to get a huge come from behind victory over the Dallas Mavericks. And that was great. And then you saw all of the energy that they had used in that practice, in the game on Saturday, and then trying to play again on Sunday here in Salt Lake City. They ran out of energy as the fourth quarter came around against the Utah Jazz, and they lost the game. So it's really fascinating, because there are, I'm sure, a lot of changes that Doc Rivers would like to make as the head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks. There just isn't a ton of opportunity to actually do that. So they are trying to change some things. I think defensively, they've looked quite a bit stronger since Doc Rivers has taken over. Offensively, they're trying to use a little bit more of Giannis Antetokounmpo and Damian Lillard together in, you know, two-man pairings, and trying to get that camaraderie between those two players and that chemistry growing a little bit. But thus far, it's you got to take these baby steps, because it's really hard to make a whole lot of changes in the middle of an NBA season.
Well, let's hear from Doc Rivers at a press conference after the Bucks lost their 2nd game with him coaching. And here's Rivers talking about possession issues.
We've had these 2 or 3 stretches in every game where we just have bad offensive possession. And a lot of those bad offensive possessions are turnovers that lead to buckets. When you're playing at a thin line the way we are right now, until we get our defense right and things like that, those change the game.
So those change the game. What changes might Rivers consider as the team tries to make a deep run into the postseason?
Yeah, it's been fascinating to watch kind of what he's done, because when you look at this team, they were very good offensively before Adrian Griffin got fired. They were, depending on what metric you would use, a top 5 offense in the NBA. And I think a lot of people, including myself, expected Doc Rivers to come in and focus on the defensive side of the basketball. The Bucks haven't been very good defensively this season. They sat around the 20th spot before Adrian Griffin was fired. And that they've been a top 5 defense for the last 5 years under Mike Budenholzer, and they've changed out some personnel and tried some new things. They have some new players. So some of those struggles were understandable, but a big part of bringing in a new coach was thinking about the defensive side. And to me, I have been a little bit surprised to see Doc Rivers go after the offensive end as much as he has. and to really try to do some new things. And, you know, those possession issues, you know, some of those turnovers, some of those wasted possessions, I think have come from Doc Rivers trying to figure out exactly how he's going to do things offensively. At the top of his list is getting Giannis and Damian Lillard on the same page. He feels like while those two players have been good, they are both going to be all-star game starters here in another couple weeks. They haven't been quite good enough. It's been good. It hasn't been dominant. And that's what he wants. He wants a dominant pairing from those two guys. And I think as he's really dug into it, he's struggled to make it work smoothly. And that includes the practice time issues that I talked about here at the start of our conversation. You know, it also includes the fact that both of those guys are used to being the very best player on their team, having the ball in their hands more than anybody else. You know, for essentially a decade, each of these guys was the engine, the reason behind a top 5 to 10 offense by themselves. Just by themselves, that's what it was like. And now you're in a spot where you're trying to put them both together, and they're like, well, I can do this by myself. Why do I need this other person? And that's where you get some of these issues.
Oh, managing expectations. Eric Name with us, reporter at The Athletic, as we talk about the Milwaukee Bucks midseason. You can join in. Questions and comments, 800-642-1234. Well, let's talk about managing morale. Rivers has coached multiple teams with high expectations to be championship contenders. And here's center Brooke Lopez talking with reporters about Doc Rivers' debut as the Bucks coach.
He handled everything great. He did a good job making sure everyone was clear on their responsibility, what to do defensively, what to do offensively, you know, and there weren't any real hiccups. So, you know, he just did a good job.
Okay, so positive sentiment. That's been echoed elsewhere on the team. You know, how are Bucks players feeling? What is the emotions like with the coach change?
Yeah, I think one thing you've kind of heard from them over and over again is he just kind of knows what he's doing, you know, and that's, I guess, to be expected of someone that's done the job for 24 seasons before joining the Bucks. So it's not a situation where, you know, I think with Adrian Griffin, he was put into a really tough spot. He was a first-time head coach in the NBA trying to figure out, you know, what he wants his own team to look like, what he wants his vision to look like, and then doing so with a team that has championship expectations, that has 5 championship players on it, that has a 7-time All-Star in Damian Lillard, that knows what he's thinking. And I just think throughout the year, you kind of heard them talk about Adrian Griffin and, you know, how they could help him along and, you know, how they could help him work with them. And I think one thing that has changed since Doc Rivers has taken over is that I don't think the players feel like they need to help Doc do all that much. That there's none of the, you know, Doc doesn't quite know what he wants. I think Doc knows what he wants, and he understands the limitations of joining in the middle of the season. But I think overall it's just kind of been, all right, like, he's been through this before. You know, it's really hard to find a situation that he hasn't seen before because he's coached so many great teams. He's had high expectations. He's won a championship. You know, he's coached multiple All-Stars together. He's coached multiple great offensive players together. He's coached great defenses. He's done so much in his over 2 decades in the league that he just kind of knows how to get everything in place. He knows how to communicate his vision. And he knows how to get everyone on the same page. And I think overwhelmingly, that's just kind of been the message that we've heard from players is that, you know, there's just an organization to everything that they're doing right now. And that felt like something that was kind of lacking under a first-time head coach.
Eric Name is a senior writer at The Athletic covering the Milwaukee Bucks. And you can be part of the discussion at any point. Call in with a question, share your perspective, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As Milwaukee Bucks head coach Doc Rivers gets hired midway through the season, we check in with The Athletic's senior writer Eric Name, a Bucks beat reporter, and you can join the conversation along the way. Call in with a question, share your comments, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Eric, can you go into why did the Bucks fire Adrian Griffin? What was going on inside the team?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just the Bucks have really high expectations. I think they've shown that over, of course, the last five seasons, but certainly over the last 8 months, as you look at them getting rid of their championship head coach in Mike Budenholzer, as the team kind of fell in a first-round upset in the playoffs last year. And then again this year with a 30-13 record for Adrian Griffin, that wasn't good enough. And while that, I think, can be hard for people from the outside to sort of believe, because it was the second-best record in the NBA at the time, it was, you know, a lot of success for the team from a wins and loss perspective. There was just not enough progress for the organization to believe in what Adrian Griffin was doing. And the things that they were looking at specifically, first and foremost was the defense. And this is a team that traded arguably its best defensive player for a great offensive player. Drew Holiday was a spectacular defensive point guard. They traded him for Damian Lillard, who's a spectacular offensive point guard. So you're going to have some of those changes are going to affect how you perform, obviously. So you make some of those changes, and I don't think anyone's expecting the defense to be as good this season. But I think the big thing was that as the season wore on, I believe the hope was from the organization that they're going to have these growing pains. And that's okay with a first-time head coach, but they still want to see the growth. And when you look at the month of January, they got to a spot where they just weren't growing defensively. That was their worst defensive month of the season. They're regularly giving up 130 points a night. And it was just a spot where you were hoping, the organization was hoping to see something building throughout the year, to build up from, all right, if we do start the season 20th in defense, you know, hopefully we get to 15th and then 10th and then maybe 5th. And maybe we'll never get that high, but we want to keep seeing that progress. And I just don't think the organization felt like they were ever really seeing that progress with Adrian Griffin. And first and foremost, that's the thing. The defense just not getting better as the season went on.
Do you think organizations are becoming less patient with coaches than years ago? I mean, Sports Illustrated doing the calculation here. Griffin's time as Milwaukee's coach is tied for the third shortest tenure of a full-time head coach in NBA history.
I mean, certainly when you look back on the history of the game, I think it's grown it's kind of crazy to think about the Milwaukee Bucks that a lot of people know from the 80s, you know, had a coach in Don Nelson that was beloved, never won a championship, but he still had the job for almost an entire decade from the late 70s into the late 80s. He was the Bucks head coach. He was beloved. He knew exactly what he was doing. Everyone was happy with being a consistent winner year over year over year, and they were always in the mix. You know, one year they would beat the Celtics and they'd lose to the 76ers. The next year they'd beat the 76ers, but they'd lose to the Celtics. And, you know, they never made that NBA Finals appearance, but everyone was pleased with the job that he was doing because clearly he put together good systems and, you know, they were winning games. And you think to kind of what you are thinking about now in this Bucks team. You know, in the middle of what ended up being a championship season in 2021, Mike Budenholzer's third season with the Bucks, the organization had real thoughts about firing him. You know, I remember covering that entire playoff run and, you know, watching the Bucks go down 2-0 to the Brooklyn Nets and starting to prepare my story for what happens when the Bucks lose and they fire Mike Budenholzer. And I remember the NBA Finals when they went down 2-0 again to the Phoenix Suns. And I looked back in my Google Docs and I was like, okay, what did I do with that file about firing Mike Budenholzer again? let me see if I can find that and make sure that, you know,
freshen that up a bit.
Right. Like that's the level of expectations that now exist in the NBA. And I mean, that's, you know, three decades, but that's what you're talking about. You're talking about, you know, the consistency of having the same coach and believing in that coach and knowing that he's good, even if he hasn't won a championship, to the high level pressure of being an NBA coach today, where even if you were, you know, in those three seasons that Mike Budenholzer had, the Bucks had the best record in the league the first two seasons. They had gone to an Eastern Conference Finals. You know, they had been in the playoffs every year. That wasn't enough.
That so, still might absolutely. Not be enough. Yeah, yeah. It's a contrast you set up.
100%.
Eric Name, reporter at The Atlantic, as we talk about the Bucks and the new head coach. You can join in. Questions and comments, 800-642-1234. Jack in Madison is here. Jack, hi. What is your question?
Hey, good morning. Well, first of all, I just want to say I'm really happy to hear you guys talk about the Bucks on WPR. I know it may not be that big a deal to you guys, but it's just really happy to hear about that. And like, as awesome as the Packers are, like, of course, the Bucks are Wisconsin's other big team. Anyways, all that aside, I wonder how the Bucks run to the playoffs looks like this year, even if it's a little early to tell at this point because we're midway through the season. But, you know, we just got a new coach. And, you know, as the team kind of starts to regroup and gel around Doc Rivers, I wonder like what their chances are of making it, you know, to the finals are this year in light of the new coach and just this kind of shakeup that's occurred, you know, over the past couple of years.
Jack, thank you. Eric, set us up.
I mean, I think they have a real chance. You look at the talent on this roster. It is, you know, parallel to the other great teams around the league. They have a lot to figure out. I'm not trying to say that, but that's not something that is unheard of as far as, you know, coaches coming in their first year and winning a championship, you know, teams being able to gel quickly and do these things. There's been plenty of modern examples. You look at Steve Kerr with the Warriors in his first season, Nick Nurse in his first season with the Toronto Raptors a few years back. That's not something that is unheard of. So these things can happen quickly. I think you look at the talent base that the Bucks have. Giannis is, if not the best player in the league, one of the best players in the league. You look at what Damian Lillard, even though it hasn't quite been what he did in Portland, he still put up spectacular numbers this year, and he's still one of the most clutch players in the NBA. That I think this Bucks team, while they are not firing on all cylinders right now like the Boston Celtics, you know, I think they're a team that has the talent to compete with the Celtics, and if they can figure it out, you know, should be right there with them in the Eastern Conference. You look at the rest of the East. Go ahead.
I was going to say, can they figure out injury management, though? I mean, last night they didn't have Brooke Lopez or Chris Middleton.
Yeah, I mean, so obviously Brooke was out with some personal issues. There's no injury concerns there, so Brooke should be back shortly. Chris is a legitimate question. That's really difficult. As Chris has tried to come back, they haven't been able to play him on back-to-backs. Luckily, in the playoffs, there are no back-to-backs, but this is a team that is getting older, a championship team that, you know, has a lot of those guys that was around when they did it a few years ago, and now they have to figure out if they can do it again, if they have enough juice left in their legs to do it. So that is something that they will have to be concerned about and be thinking about, and obviously that's something that they're managing right now. But I don't know if those concerns are really something that can keep them out of the title picture and certainly contending in the Eastern Conference.
Well, Eric, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. This is fun.
Eric Name, yes, fun, senior writer for The Athletic covering the Milwaukee Bucks. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.